Udsendelsen, du lytter til, er finansieret af Kontrasts medlemmer. Hvis du kan lide det, du hører, så meld dig ind på kontrast.dk/medlem.
Du lytter til Trans og Tradition. Denne podcast omhandler identitetspolitik og ideen om, at dine politiske holdninger skal dikteres af din identitet. LGBT-miljøet i Danmark, men også i Vesten generelt, er blevet kapret af den yderste venstrefløj, der ikke efterlader plads til anderledes tænkende. Som ung borgerlig transseksuel er jeg optaget af de fordomme og kontroverser, der er omkring det at være en minoritet og højreorienteret, og hvordan LGBT-bevægelsen og identitetspolitikken er begyndt at gå for vidt og kaste sine sorte skygger over den vestlige verden og vestlige kultur. Og jeg vil gerne vise, at der findes et alternativ til venstrefløjens seksualpolitiske dogmer.
Okay, I am so happy to introduce my first American guest. He is from New York, a writer, and can I say activist?
I guess, but like, I don't know. I don't think I'm like important enough to be considered an activist. Like, that should be reserved for people who like hardcore do things, but sure.
You're a speaker and you are a part of the famous organization called the hashtag walkaway movement. And yeah, Mike Harlow, welcome.
Thank you so much, dude. It's so great to be here talking to you. I'm just so proud of you, everything you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we go way back. Like, you've been there since I started being public about my opinion on Instagram. It's so amazing. So who are you and what do you do?
God, that's like a deep question. My name is Mike. For the past couple of years, I sort of accidentally have gotten involved in politics. I don't really know how or why this has happened, but I used to be a hardcore liberal Democrat, and now I am not. That's what the walkaway movement is people who used to be leftist liberal Democrats walking away from the crazy radical left. So yeah, I sort of, by happenstance, I guess, got involved and just started speaking up and writing things, making YouTube videos. I don't think I knew at the time that the things I was saying, which seemed very sensible, boring, middle of the road, common sense, would be controversial. Like, just to say that you support freedom of speech nowadays is like, you know, you're a Nazi then. So I don't think I quite knew what I was getting into, but I'm glad I'm here.
Awesome. So yeah, the hashtag walkaway community, I don't know what you want to call it. It stands for walking away from the Democrat Party, and it got like 500,000 followers on Facebook, and now they're banned.
Yep. Banned everywhere. I kind of feel like I was the first one to be banned because I was the first of us to be banned from Twitter. I'm back now, but, it really goes to show the control that these handful of tech companies have over everybody, that any opinion they don't like. And I think Walkaway was really sort of one of the most peaceful, civil places probably on the entire internet. But simply for even being that, you're banned now.
Yeah, it was just, I was actually a member of it, even though I'm not American, but it was just people sharing their stories, like why they walked away from the Democrat Party. And it was like a nice group with nice people. And you got like moderators in the group, right?
Yeah. But that's kind of what I think is almost the point, is I feel like over the past year, it's sort of been this targeting of people who are kind of nice people and are more sensible and middle of the road. I almost think they want the really obnoxious, phony people out there because that's less of a threat. Like, they're not afraid that walk away is dangerous. They're afraid that we're persuasive.
Exactly. Yeah. And you got banned on Twitter how many times?
I've been banned from Twitter more times than I've done anything in my life. I think I was permanently banned 3 times. I fought them twice and beat them. But they can never even give me a reason, just like they can never give anyone a reason. And I think this issue really goes to show just how, I hate to say it, but how useless the right is here. Because for years, so many people been sounding the alarm that this is really the most important issue. I mean, if you can't speak to people, if you can't reach your voters, if you can't speak your message, how can anyone vote for you? How can you have any sort of influence? But they didn't do anything about it, and they probably still won't do anything about it. And now here we are.
Yeah. And I remember you talked about how you find it weird how neo-Nazis, like literally Nazis, are on Twitter. What's this guy? What's that famous Nazis?
Richard Spencer or David Duke, Louis Farrakhan. There's so many of them.
But why are they not banned? I just don't get
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Well, the actual Nazis can be on there, but Nazis, what the left calls Nazis, can't be. Well, I really think that that's the image that they want to portray. That's the, because that's the thing, is in many ways it really was the internet that destroyed the credibility of the left, because now people can research, do their own research and find information on their own and look at raw footage and raw facts. You're no longer solely reliant on just these handful of media companies. So they need to stop that, obviously. So I really think that just like the mainstream media has created this false reality where they make you think that 99% of people are leftists and it's just this crazy little 1% that isn't, they're trying to bring that to the internet where they want to create this image of it's either you are a leftist Democrat or you are a neo-Nazi white supremacist. So I think they sort of wouldn't mind that if those are the only things you see, that you either see Democrats or neo-Nazis.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's funny too, because their whole excuse for everything is, oh, they're fighting hate and hate speech and hate speech and fighting hate. Which, so if you're going to do that, don't you think a good place to start might be like David Duke, Richard Spencer, someone like that? No, I mean, they have literally like blue check marks on there.
Yeah, they have a lot of followers. It's disturbing. So are you don't consider yourself a conservative, right?
No, not really. I mean, I'm a Republican now because I think just the reality in this country is there, you get two choices, and I'm sort of begrudgingly a Republican because they are just so awful, but obviously Democrats are, you know, insane. So I think a lot of people are just trying to get the Republican Party to where they need to be and being a party that actually represents the people who vote for them. But Democrats are just evil at this point.
For real.
No, to answer your question. No, I don't really consider myself a conservative. I mean, I think that's the case for a lot of us, that if you think about what a liberal is supposed to be, I feel like I'm a better liberal than they are. I think Trump was a better liberal than any of them, definitely more so than Joe Biden, if you think of the classical sense of that term.
Mm. Yeah. So something I want to ask my guest, just because of the topic of my podcast, is what does identity politics mean to you?
Ooh, it means the end of the world, the destruction of civilization, the end of harmony, the end of unity, the end of civility, the end of egalitarianism, the end of judging people by the content of their character. You know, I think as a culture, as a society, that's always something that was our goal, to for everyone to be judged by the content of their character. But now the left and identity politics basically want you to be judged for everything but the content of your character. I think it's so destructive. Even, you know, I was noticing recently, like, so I, a couple of nights ago, I went out to dinner with some relatives, and this like relative of mine who I hadn't seen in a long time, she's suddenly saying like all this really racist shit. And like, she was never like this. Like, I've never heard her say stuff like this. And I really think that you can trace it back to identity politics. I think that it's bringing out the worst in everyone, and they don't have the sense to think that this racial extremism will have a counter effect and will just cause more racism.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wow.
And I think that's exactly what it's doing. Like, I think, you know, they're creating more racists than the KKK could ever dream of.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so right. And something we haven't clarified is that you are gay and not a Democrat. So can you talk a little bit about you betraying your own community?
I know, I'm betraying them by not voting for the person to be president who voted to screw them for his entire career, and not in a fun way, might I add. I mean, you know, I think at least the way it was back in the day when I was coming out, which was a million years ago, it felt like the reason for coming out was to be independent and be authentic and be yourself and have your own voice. So nobody ever told me that in being gay, I was expected to be pledging an entire loyalty oath to an entire secular religion that demands how you, what you can think, how you can dress, what you can say, what you can read. So I've just never been the type of person to do what I'm told or have anyone tell me what to do or what I can say, what I can do. And I think the LGBT community has really become everything that they claimed to have once been against.
Yeah, how so?
They're just like the ultimate Karens. They're the final boss of Karens. They just are in everyone's business, everyone's face, everyone's thoughts, everyone's job, everyone's church, words, everything. God, I saw a thing the other day. It was like Elliot Page calls out Chris Pratt because of the church that he goes to, and someone who goes to his church once said something. Like, who gives it to? What is this any of your business? Mind your own damn business. They're just in everyone's business. They're always, you know, and I think they're sort of, in many ways, the most powerful of all the identity interest groups.
Yeah.
Because it seems like they're the ones who are determining reality itself right now. At least with Black Lives Matter and stuff like that. Obviously, I don't agree with them, but at least it's rooted in certain truths, you know, that there's a history of racism and all this. But the stuff coming out of the Alphabet cult is just otherworldly.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, because it's
you see how it is that, like, you know, they claim to stand for gay people, for trans people, for whoever, until you say one thing that they don't like or that goes against what they tell you to say. Mm-hmm. There's nobody they hate more. Yeah. And I think in many ways that's because people like us, just by existing and speaking, disprove their entire narrative.
Yeah, and something I find really funny is how they act so vile against us. They are hateful and they threaten us. They threat us and the attack, like, we're going to talk about this later, but they also attack people like us. And then they say, how can you be conservative? How can you support conservative people? They hate people like you. Like, no, you're the hateful one. You hate me. So, like, no wonders we're on this side.
I know. And my favorite thing that they go is when they, because they always have a justification of why you're saying what you're saying. And it's never, of course, that you truly believe these things. It's always you hate yourself. It's always these things that can't be proven, you know? There can be no fact check for their claims. Like, what do you show a chart of, like, actually, I don't hate myself. I'm kind of a narcissist. Look how many selfies I post on Instagram with my nipples out. No, they're just the nastiest people in the world.
And it's funny when people say that I struggle with internalized transphobia, because I say I'm a biological woman. I'm a biological woman identifying as a man. That's the definition of being trans. So how's that transphobia when that is the definition of it? The internalized transphobia would be to say I'm a biological man identifying as a man when that's not the truth.
Well, and I don't get why that's a bad thing. Like, to me, that's awesome. That's like, our differences are what make us wonderful. Like, why is that a negative thing? To me, that's such a unique experience that makes us different, but equal. You know, like, I don't understand why differences always have to be made out into this negative thing. Like, we should embrace our differences.
Yeah, but it's like, I'm proud of being trans in a way, and they are lying to themselves and lying to others about how biology works. And then I'm being called transphobic, even though I'm just clarifying what it means to be trans. Like, it doesn't make any sense at all.
No, but like I said, they want to determine what reality itself is.
Yeah.
And that's why I've been saying for many years that I feel like these sort of cultural LGBT gender issues are really sort of in many ways the most important ones, because these are the issues where we decide whether or not we'll draw a line in the sand and allow this small, powerful group of people to decide that science isn't science, biology isn't biology, reality isn't reality, facts aren't facts. And I think that's one of the many things that has brought us here to where it feels like truth kind of is becoming a thing of the past.
Yeah, yeah. What was the tweet? Was it the tweet that got you banned from Twitter the first time? Wasn't it something about trans people? I remember agreeing with it.
They didn't come out and say that, of course. They didn't come out and say that, but I figured it was one of these, I was like the trans visibility day or the trans enlightenment day or the, every day is like a different alphabet day. Like, I can't keep up. And by the way, I realized recently, I was like, at least I'm consistent on this shit that I hate all of it, because New York, I'm Italian, and in New York, they just declared some month like Italian heritage. I'm like, I don't want freaking, like, go to hell with it. Like, nobody cares. Nobody wants this. Or I think it was they replaced Columbus Day with it. It's now Italian Heritage Day. I'm like, get the hell out of here. Oh, yeah, but anyway, no. So it was after I'd gone on a tweet storm about all that. But yeah, they never came out and said that. What they do is they'll just sort of invent reasons and say, we're banning you because you have multiple accounts. I don't have multiple accounts. Mm-hmm. Then they'll say, we're banning you because you previously tried to evade suspension. I never had a suspension. So I got that one undone, and then they ended up banning me again. I got that undone, they unbanned me again. And then finally, the ultimate one that did it, which I could never end up undoing, I defended J.K. Rowling. And that was my hate speech. I said, my team tweeted something like, I know. I said something like, it's amazing how all of the people who claim to stand for supporting women and respect women are the same people calling J.K. Rowling every name in the world. And you can look up all those tweets of people calling her that, like nothing happens to them, even like violent, disgusting things against her.
Yeah.
But then they're the same ones who will say, respect women and women's voices should be heard. You know, as long as they're ones where they could just stick their hand up there and go like this.
Yeah, the people who religiously follow identity politics, they are completely blind when it comes to other people's identity when they say something they don't agree with. So they totally forget that you're gay, that I'm trans, and all these things, that a person is black, for example. They just forget it. Because if we say the wrong thing or the wrong thing, our identities apparently don't matter. It doesn't make sense when they're the ones obsessed with identity.
Because their words mean nothing. It's just a way of manipulating people. They don't care about black people or trans people or gay people. It's just because most people, the vast majority of people, don't want to see any discrimination and don't want to see any hate. So it's a very clever way of manipulating people's emotions to get everyone to go along with their agenda. But their words mean nothing. They don't mean a thing that they say. When they say black voices should be heard. Okay, how about Thomas Sowell? No, not that black voice. Mm-hmm. You know, or trans voices must be heard. Okay, how about yours? No, not that trans voice.
Yeah.
So what it all amounts to is radical leftist voices must be heard.
Ugh, no, thank you. So, as I've said before, you and other members of the Walkaway movement got attacked by Black Lives Matter and Antifa on multiple occasions. Can you talk a little bit about that?
We had them come after us twice in 1 week. Like, come on, I feel like I should get a little trophy for that, just a little one. So I'd actually was so lucky to get asked to speak in a video at the Republican convention. So I got invited to go to it at the White House, and it was amazing. So then after we left, Black Lives Matter came up to us, and this is, we were a mile away, so I guess they just assumed that we were at the White House, but calling us every, spitting at us, calling us every name in the world, faggot this, faggot that, an inch from our faces, screaming faggot with their fists in our faces. It's so funny too, because like, I've only experienced that from the left. I've toured the entire country for a year, and there, you know, there are always little things occasionally. I think the entire year of touring, the worst thing that any conservative said to me was like, oh, I don't hate you, I don't agree with your choice, but I am like, okay, whatever. I roll my eyes and move on with my day. Like, that's the worst thing anyone on the right has said to me. But yeah, no. And then a week later, we'd done a speech, we'd done an event in Dallas, Texas, and literally got chased by an angry mob in front of a police precinct, which I think really goes to show how there are just no laws anymore in this country. I mean, I guess there are, but a friend of mine who's a lawyer recently said to me, like, there might be laws, but they're not being enforced. If laws aren't enforced, it doesn't matter. And that's exactly what's happening, is that Antifa and Black Lives Matter have just run over law enforcement, run over everyone. And I think all of these institutions, whether it's corporations, whether it's police departments, live in fear of these people. It's insane.
Yeah.
Especially when you think about it, the radical left, all polling shows that like the far crazy left is such a small minority of the population, but they seem so big and powerful because everybody capitulates to them.
Yeah, they can burn down cities.
Yeah, with no consequences. And meanwhile, you have people who on January 6th didn't even go into the Capitol, didn't do anything wrong, were there just like documenting what was happening, and they're being put on trial and going to prison. Or, you know, not that I agree with what happened, but like, okay, I'm very sorry some people broke a couple windows, but like, we had just had 6 months of entire cities burning. And I don't know, are you seeing all the trials for rioters? I'm not seeing it. Are you seeing all these arrests for rioters? I'm not seeing any.
No, I'm seeing celebrities want to bail criminals out because they're doing it for the right cause.
Yeah. Even the vice president.
Oh, God.
But I think that's the discrepancy between the Antifa and BLM riots for months and months and months versus January 6th is really illuminating. That, you know, with the riots from Antifa and BLM, it was mostly the powerless who were getting hurt by it. Like somebody like David Dorn, who was killed, or the dozens of people who were killed. People who worked hard and had nothing and built small businesses just to have them burnt down. I'll never forget, I saw a sign in the midst of all of this on a store that said, I'm a single mother, this is all I have, please show mercy. Please show mercy. I mean, these people who were really powerless, had no money or power, having everything in their life destroyed. So you had 6 months of that versus one afternoon of a couple windows being broken and a couple people shouting, mildly inconveniencing the powerful, and it's the end of the world, and people are arrested just for being in a 10-mile radius. So if you look at the outrage over that and the accountability, or, you know, I don't even know what word to use because it's not even that, you know, of people who didn't even do anything there, versus people who murdered and stole and burned shit down for months. It really does feel like at this moment, there are one set of laws for leftists and Democrats and one set of rules for the rest of us.
Yeah, it's far left privilege.
Yeah, it really is.
So the day in Texas, you just had a speaking event outside Rescue America, I think it was called. And then some Black Lives Matter activists, they were trying to interrupt the event. And then what?
Well, so yeah, they did that. They just started shouting. They came behind the stage and tried to come after us. So one of our security people intervened and the police arrested him. They actually arrested both of them, but the fact that they would even arrest the security guard kind of says everything. Yeah. So that we thought that was that at the event. But then later that day, we went to the police precinct to see what was going on with the security guard, if he needed help, anything. And there was a huge crowd there with cameras covering their every move and media was there. And as soon as they saw our faces, the hatred in their eye, they would have killed us without batting an eyelash if there weren't cameras there. I've just never seen such dehumanization of other people. Like, I disagree with them. I don't care. I would never, the idea of chasing someone down a block because they have different opinions than I do is so psychotic. And I think we've really come to a point in America where we don't even get how psychotic that is anymore. That seems normal to us. Like, oh, of course you were chased by them. But yeah, they stole my friend's phone and smashed it and spit on us and chased us and screamed everything. And yeah, it was really ugly.
And telling you where to walk and how to walk and screaming
walk
at
faster,
you.
Walk here, just barking orders. But the thing is, there were maybe like, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 of them. So you had to do it, which was crazy for me because, like I said, I'm an independent person. I don't do what people tell me to do. But you just didn't know who had a knife, who had a gun. Like, I truly thought that was going to be the day I was going to die. Oh. And to feel so powerless. That you're literally in front of a police precinct with news cameras 2 feet away and no one will do anything.
It's really scary. Didn't do anything. It's obvious who's wrong in this situation and they blamed you, right? Like say that you shouldn't have been there or something.
We provoked them for being there. I'm like, it's kind of like, oh, she shouldn't have been wearing that dress.
Yeah, exactly. That was too short.
Yeah. It's so psychotic. And people just pretend that this is normal and just go along with it. And like I said, because the radical left is actually in reality such a small percentage of people, all of this, and this is really a sad realization that I've come to the past couple months, is that all of this isn't really happening because of the left. It's happening because of the right and everyone else, the cowardice of other people to stand up against these nut jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone just capitulates to them. I feel like those of us who are willing to really speak up, unfortunately, feels like such a small minority right now. So I really hope anyone listening, anyone watching this, you have to be brave and be bold and speak up because we are slowly, inch by inch, giving everything to these crazy people.
Something I've noticed is that the American right and Republicans, they have definitely been too quiet and they've been sitting on their hands for so long. But here in Denmark, I will say that the right is better at taking a stance, defending themselves and criticizing the far left. I will say that. That's amazing. Yeah.
I'm jealous.
And it's I think it's sad that that after the Trump movement, that's when people are criticizing political correctness and like that's too late. Basically. So yeah. Not to brag, but we've been doing that.
No, brag, please. I would if I were you. I'm jealous. I wish. Like, I mean, you can really count on one hand, especially politicians who are decent or will fight against this in any real way. It's just, I feel like people don't realize how imminent total communism is right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, when the government, just like, in the span of, I remember, when I started realizing these things and waking up to the left, at the time, the big issues were like, oh, political correctness and comedians not being able to perform at colleges. Mm. In the span of like 4 or 5 years, we've gone from that to the government telling you when you can leave your house, when you can work, where you can work, if you can have your business open. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say. Like, we are truly in the throes of communism. I mean, now it's New York. It's creepy. It's like a ghost town. You walk outside, everyone is all covered up with masks. And that's another thing is like, outside. Maybe, I don't know, outside these freaks. So horrible. And that's another thing is I think anyone who is at this point, especially, I think anybody who isn't a leftist has had it with the masks and the lockups. I mean, to me, it feels like a muzzle. It feels like somebody has their hand over my mouth. But even something as simple as that, people who are on the right, I don't even want to say people on the right, because it's really just everyone who isn't on the left. You don't have to be on the right. Won't even stand up about that. You know, if there were a free market change with masks, if there were some sort of penalty to these businesses in terms of the fact that people won't shop at a store where they're going to require masks, this would be done with by now. But it seems to me like so many people on the right, their main concern is just not making a fuss.
Yeah.
That's how we're losing everything. That's why I say the destruction of America, unfortunately, I think won't be because of the left. It will be the cowardice of the right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't hear that a lot in the conservative community or the American conservative community, because then it's like, that's why it's great to have people like you who's like more in the middle, because you can criticize the left and the right. And I also do that sometimes, mostly because I think the current American right is crazy. And I think in a way of LGBT politics, I don't know if you've noticed, but too many religious people are speaking right now, and it's making my head hurt, like this anti-trans rhetoric, especially with Caitlyn Jenner running for governor in California. And then you see like these high or famous conservatives say like, I don't want to vote for Bruce Jenner, he's a man or something. Like,
it goes back to what I was saying earlier too, is that I think the extremism of the identity politics is just creating more negativity towards those people, whether it's Black people, trans people, gay people. I think that the left has gone so psychotic with the trans and gender issues that it's making people feel like that you either have to support insanity and thinking there are a million genders, or you have to be against trans people. And what I hope to get across, and I think you really get across to people, is you do not have to make that choice. That's not a choice you have to make. Those are not your choices. And the ironic part of that too, which God, you know better than anyone, is that like the insanity of most of those things that they're pushing as transgender aren't even about trans people.
No, not at
all. It's these people who create these ridiculous identities that didn't exist 5 years ago. And they attach themselves to that label transgender to gain some legitimacy, because there is none.
Yeah. But I do find it lazy that some people on the right, they see crazy people, and then they say, well, that's basically all LGBT people. Because like the famous conservatives like Candace Owens, like she's a smart woman. Candace Owens is really smart, but when it comes to LGBT,
oh God,
and I don't get it.
She sucks.
She sucks. Yeah, and
like she's very smart, and I like a lot of what she has to say, but she just sucks.
Yeah, and it's fake. Like, I think she's smarter than that when it comes to her opinions on transsexualism. I think she's just faking it on camera to please this, I wouldn't say far right, but like religious right, maybe even. And it's sad, because it's not taking us anywhere. So
no, and let me tell you, in my experience touring the entire country for a year, that's not what conservatives, right wing people care about. But and that's what's unfortunate, is that it's the people like that and these people who just spout talking points those are the ones who are sort of given the platforms and the opportunities and pushed forward, which is unfortunate. I mean, if you look at a group like Turning Point USA, $70 million a year in activism. And while groups like Walk Away were out there and doing things and trying to create engagement, I was looking towards groups like that, like, where are they? What are they doing? Nothing. They're sitting at home collecting unemployment and raking in $70 million a year.
Wow. Yeah.
And I just think that that's like, that's another big failure of the right. Like, they should see what a massive opportunity it is, even if they only care about their own self-interest. That the party is getting more diverse and the party is becoming a bigger tent. That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I think Walk Away is actually the whole reason why I'm here talking about American politics, because I was kind of sucked in that community, and it's so heartwarming, you know? It's that we have people who are rational, like people who share the same beliefs that I've always been conservative, actually. So it's nice to see people sharing those opinions, and they're not like Candace Owens, you know, anti-LGBT, and then there are actually LGBT people who are also conservative. So, you know, finding that community was so, like, so amazing to me. Yeah, and to many others also. So how is it to be a part of Walk Away?
It's amazing. They're just the greatest people in the world, the most hardworking people in the world. You know, I was friends with Brandon Brennstrock, who started it while he was starting it before that, and got to see everything. And he's just so amazing, and I'm really proud of him. And, you know, he's going through a hard time right now, but he's really powering through and he's doing really well. And, you know, Walk Away was banned from everything at once. And not just Walk Away, it was like an entire coordinated hit on all sorts of right-leaning groups and people across different platforms. So what they're doing, because I think what separates Walk Away from other right-leaning groups is that they're not talk, they're about action. So they've spent the past couple months, and they're, as we speak, working on building their own platform, because the Walk Away group got banned from Facebook. So they're building their own platform to host it. And that should be coming out in the next couple months.
Oh, that's great. I was also about to.
But yeah, I really think it's so unique, especially amongst the right, which I don't really like saying right, because it's just the non-left. Yeah, I really don't think there is another space like that that is so welcoming and diverse and inclusive. And I hate that the left has even ruined words like that for me, that I say diverse and inclusive, and I want to vomit, but in the non-annoying way. I mean, it's a big tent of people with all different beliefs.
Yeah. So.
And the right doesn't realize how, because for me, to this day, if the Republican Party were right now what it was before Trump, I would never in a million years be a Republican. And that's not just, I mean, LGBT issues are the least of that. It's their issues on everything. I would never in a million years vote for Bush or McCain or Romney or any of those people. So I think a lot of people like us are now making sure that the Republican Party is where they need to be, with an American first agenda, one of economic populism, and does not go back to that like elite corporatist country club of a party that it was. And they don't realize how off-putting the anti-LGBT shit is to people, because it's easy to say, oh, LGBT people are just a tiny minority. Well, yes, but everybody, we have friends, we have family, we have parents, and there's basically nobody who does not have a personal connection to an LGBT person. So it's so off-putting to people. They're stuck in the past with it, and it needs to stay in the past.
Would you say that you are basically on the right because you're boycotting the left?
Definitely.
Because I get that feeling from others. Like, it's not that they're conservatives. It's like they're boycotting being a leftist.
No, I'm not a conservative. I mean, for me, I don't really care whether a policy or an issue is the liberal or the conservative one. I just want what's best for my country, and I don't care. But to me, I just could not be more against everything that the left and the Democrat Party is doing now. And the Republican Party is very, 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 very flawed, but they're clearly superior in every way, and including in so on so many issues that I always thought were an integral part of being a liberal, that I'm anti-war and stuff like that. Trump was the first president in half a century to not start wars. So I think, you know, like the Republican Party right now is trying to oust Dick Cheney's daughter from leadership. I think that's a great thing, because I do not want people like that getting their claws back on power in the Republican Party.
Yeah. I think it's amazing. The Walkaway Movement, they did like town halls. They did events where they gathered people. They had like panels, and you were on it, what, five? How many times?
Something like that.
Five times, maybe. So they would have, for example, debate. Yeah, they would have like LGBT town halls, LGBT events, and then they would have Hispanic, and then what else?
They had like the Black town hall, the Hispanic town hall, and we just had like general events too, like we'd have rallies.
Rallies.
Basically, we're doing the work that the Republican Party should have been doing for the last 30 years.
How was the, God, I forgot what it's called in English. But how was it at these town halls and talking to people and the audience, and how was the, God, I forgot the word.
The vibe.
The vibe. Yeah, the vibe.
It was amazing. It was honestly just like a love fest every single time. And, I know this is going to sound super liberalish to say, but like, I truly mean it, is that honestly, what I thought was one of the most beautiful parts, every single event that we would do, is seeing the most diverse people in the world at our event, every race, every religion, every sexual orientation, and not just in terms of identities, but I mean, you could see everything from like teenage punk rockers to soccer moms to biker chicks to Black trans people and I just thought that was so awesome, because we're just this like weird mix of oddballs coming together. And it's so funny, because, you know, like we said, I mean, there was so much controversy for every event we would do. They would cancel our venues. Three of our first four events, the venue canceled us right beforehand. And then we do the event, and it's like, where's all the hate speech?
Yeah.
But I think those are the things that the left seeks to shut down the most, are minorities having their own voices when they're not leftist voices.
Yeah. And you had protests outside also. And
yeah, it was funny, because like they would be screaming things. Our protesters would be screaming things like, protect trans lives, and our audience, the people that were waiting online to come see us, would start screaming back at them, we agree. And their brains would just like break. They wouldn't know what to say to that.
Yeah,
they're like, trans people are valid, and our people are shouting, we agree.
they hear it's a right-wing event, or it's technically not, but they think it is, and then they're like, okay, that's probably a transphobic, homophobic event, while Brandon is gay and Blair is trans, who's also at the event. So yeah,
my favorite thing was our first event. The venue ended up canceling us, but they took out all these ads and compiled a whole portfolio of our hate speech and all this, and said that we were white supremacist, Nazi, homophobic, transphobic, were responsible for violence against gay people, trans people, Black people, Jews, Muslims. We got the Jews and Muslims to agree on something, I guess. But it was so funny, because the panel was a gay guy, a Black gay veteran, a trans woman, and a gay Jew. Yeah. So those are your Nazi white supremacists.
That's diverse. That's
but like I said, the words mean nothing. Like, that's the only language they have to control people. And that's why they have to keep that fear alive that, oh, there's a Nazi behind every corner. There's a white supremacist behind the door.
They want people to distance distance themselves from you. So,
yeah,
it's not going to work. Like, you know, 500,000 people following Walk Away on Facebook, that's a lot of people. So they definitely didn't scare. It's definitely not working.
No, and Walk Away is going to be back stronger than ever, too, I think.
Oh, I'm excited.
Because they're going to be the only people who had the balls to not allow ourselves to be canceled, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they're hardworking people, I can tell.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is amazing. I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time.
Me too with you. It's been so amazing seeing you do so much and grow into who you are now. I'm so proud of you, dude.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I can't take a compliment.
Well, you should.
So where can people find you?
Well, I said screw it with Twitter and just made a new one. So hit me up on Twitter, because now I'm like starting from scratch and I have like no followers. So I feel like I'm just talking to myself on there and I'm just like a ranting lunatic, like shouting at the sky. So my Twitter is not Mike Carlo, because it's totally not me. So go follow him. Or I'm on Instagram at Sleepy Harlow, or Facebook under my name. I have a YouTube channel also. I'm taking a break from that, but I'm coming back soon. So look at my YouTube.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking to me and being on my podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
You're welcome. And thank you all for listening / watching. I hope you all understood what we were saying. Or you should take English classes. No, I'm just kidding. Danish people are really good at English, so I think they're going to follow. So, yeah. But thank you all for watching, and I'll see you in my next, which is probably going to be a Danish episode.